Today on Brave, a new message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
We're going to be godly with every single person, and we're going to respect every single person because that's what it means to be part of the family of God. And there's all sorts of other things we could talk about this. We could talk about preferencing one another. We could talk about considering others more important than ourselves. There's all sorts of ways we treat one another. But in the church, we should feel palpably, this is the place where I feel the most love of any place I go on the planet.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. As a Christian, you're more than just a member at your local church. You're a member of the entire family of God. And as a family, we're called to meet and greet one another with love. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins a lesson on what the Bible says about how we're meant to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's part of our current series called The Kingdom Embassy. And if you're joining us a little late in our study, you can always catch up by listening at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff to begin our next lesson titled, Caring for Your Spiritual Family.
Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are and for all you're doing. And Lord, we just ask that you would move mightily during this service, that we would hear you and hear your word faithfully proclaimed so that we would clearly hear what you have to say to us. We want to be changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and we praise you for all that you're going to do. And so now for all who are gathered, who desire to hear the word of the Lord, who will believe what God says about you and will by faith put into practice what he shows you, will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen, amen. I don't know what was going on this week, but I heard the F word more times this week than I've really ever heard. And it's interesting when you hear that word come out, I mean, it's always said with a lot of emotion. For some people, it's said with anger. For others, it's distress. For others, people say that word and there's incredible amounts of pain. But then you see other people say, their eyes like light up, like they're almost enjoying saying the word, like it's a great delight to them. And you know, even as I was listening to people say that word, I even found it slip out of my mouth a couple times this week as we were doing things. And you know, of course, I'm talking about the word family. And isn't it interesting that that word engenders such emotion behind it? Like no matter who you are, you hear the word family and you begin to think, yeah, that's a delightful word. I love that word. I love my family. I'm so glad we got to get together. Or there's anger behind that word of disappointment that happened in your past and you don't even want to talk about it. Or there's pain in that word. And some of you this week, even as you gathered with family, all those different emotions begin to come out. For some of you, you would talk about how delightful Thursday was and we got together as family and what a wonderful thing it was. And for others, you would tell horror stories about what happened, or maybe you didn't even get together because of what that word means. And the reason that that word engenders such emotion is because God loves family. God loves the family. As a matter of fact, when God created the world, he created a man and then a woman, and he brought them together so that they could have a family. God has always chosen to use the family as his unit to advance the kingdom of God on this planet. God loves the family. But there's another family that God talks about in his word as well. You see, Jesus Christ came to this world because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There was no way for any one of us to get to God, so God came to us. And Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, fulfilled the law, all the righteous requirements that were demanded of his Father. And instead of allowing you to die in your sin while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you by going to the cross, laying down his life on a cross, shed all of his blood so that all of the sin of the world would be taken away. 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the grave to offer life to all who would repent and believe in him. And when you repent and believe in God, you become a member of his family. The Bible says that you are baptized into the body of Christ. And all throughout the New Testament, we see that when we're part of his body, God is our Father, which makes all of us brothers and sisters, which makes us family. If you look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, this is just one verse of many that I could have referenced today talking about family. Ephesians 2:19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. We're family. When you accept Christ, you're family with the body of Christ worldwide. And so what God wants us to understand is, how is family supposed to treat one another? How are we as family supposed to get along? What's supposed to happen? As we've been studying the book of 1 Timothy, we've taken a look as to what's supposed to be going on in the church. If the church is really the embassy for all of God's saints to gather so we can go advance the kingdom, and this is kingdom soil on this planet, then what does it look like for those of us in the body of Christ to get along? We've talked about the importance of preaching the word. We've talked about the importance of prayer. We've talked about the importance of leadership. We've talked about gender distinctions. We've talked about a lot of different things that God wants to see happen in his body. But one thing he wants to make sure we address is how we treat one another. And starting in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's going to begin to unpack different relationships and how we're to look at those in his word, how we're to treat one another. Jesus said we're to love one another in the same way that he loved us. That the whole law and prophets was summed up by loving God and what? Loving each other. How do we do that? As I look around the world and even in our own church, I think there's ways that we can improve. That we as Christians are not always known for our love for one another. That's why he goes to great lengths in this section of scripture to teach us how to do that. So I want to invite you to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to take a look at the first 16 verses and unpack some of the relationships today that God wants us to understand how to love each other and how to care for our spiritual family. Listen to the word of the Lord. He says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has her hope fixed on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires and disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened so that it may assist those who are widows indeed." And here in these 16 verses, we really begin to see what it looks like to care for our spiritual family. And how do we care for the relationships in our family? And what does it look like for us to really take the love of Christ and have it lived out in the community that we call the church? And we're going to take a look at three primary ways to do this today. And the first is this, that caring for your spiritual family means treating everyone with godliness and respect. Treating everyone with godliness and respect. If we're going to care for our Christian family, this is what we're called to do. And he's really going to go through four different groups of people: older men, younger men, older women, and younger women. This is what he's going to have us do. This is what it wants to look like. And this really involves everybody in the church. And here's what he says. He says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father." This word, strongly rebuke, means to get in his face. It means to be critical. It means to tell him what he's doing wrong. Now, for those of you who don't know, what do men crave more than anything? Respect. Men crave respect. He says, in the church, don't sharply rebuke an older man, but appeal to him as a father. That means to urge him or exhort him or invite him to come alongside. Some of my best friends in the church are 15 to 20 years older than me. Says, don't rebuke them like that. Don't sharply criticize them. Urge them as you were your own dad. Invite them to come alongside. Do that, because that's how we show respect to older men in the church. Does this mean we're never to rebuke a man? No. I mean, listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. He says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Part of our responsibility in the church is to encourage people to walk in holiness. So there are times, just because somebody's an older man doesn't give him a hall pass to never be rebuked in his sin. It doesn't mean, well, I'm older than you, I can do whatever I want. It means how you're going to approach an older man who is in sin or needs to be talked to is to encourage him, exhort him, appeal to him, come alongside of him as you would your very own father. This is super important for us to understand. Why? Because sometimes in church, we're just critical. We can be critical of older men. And do you know why? Because our society teaches us to do so. You study any movie, any comedy out there, any Hollywood film, if you want it to be a blockbuster, make the main character a man who is a total clown or a buffoon. Make the guy somebody that you can be critical of or make fun of or be criticizing of. Not in the church. We don't criticize older men. We can call them in their sin. We can exhort them. We can urge them to live a certain way, but we're not critical. And here's another thing you should know about older men in the church, especially those who have walked with the Lord for a long time. They are libraries of how to live your life. There's a lot to learn. Not because they've done everything right, but because they haven't done everything right. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. So he says, when you talk to older men in the church, you say, well, what's older? Older than you. Right? I mean, the older I get, I'm kind of falling into that category now, right? And so we're called to exhort them, love them, show honor to them as we're calling them alongside and teaching them. And then he says to the younger men as brothers, to the younger men as brothers. How many of you have brothers here? Anybody, show of hands. Brothers, we're different, right? We treat brothers differently. I mean, here at Brave Church, we have a number of people that serve on staff. We have a number of volunteers that serve. I have a brother that serves here. My relationship is different. Try as I might, try as I want to think differently. He's my brother. And how would I treat him differently? I'm going to know him for the rest of my life. It's different. Staff may come and go. Elders may come and go. People may come and go. He's my brother. How am I treating him as a brother? As if we're always going to spend time together. Now, why should we treat younger men like this? Listen up. If you're in the family of God, you're going to spend eternity with them. Okay, so treat them as if you're going to spend eternity with them. See, sometimes in church, we treat people as if it's only temporary. Like, yeah, I don't like that. I know they're a Christian, but I don't want to hang out with them. You're going to hang out with them for all eternity. Well, heaven's really big. We'll be on opposite parts of the kingdom. No, we're treating them as brothers. It means as brothers, we have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to overlook an offense. We have to learn to bear one another's burdens. We do things differently if it's brothers. We can say things about our brothers, but we won't let other people say those things about our brothers. Why? Because they're our brothers. He says, how do you treat those younger than you? It means you're not bossing them and you're not bullying them either. You're coming alongside of them like, hey, we're in this thing together. And you see it in sports, or you watch it with people that have served in the military together or something. There's a bond that gets formed when you're doing something special together. There's a brotherhood. We're in the business of advancing Christ's kingdom on this planet. We're not better than anybody else in the church. We treat older men with respect. We appeal to them. We come along those that are younger, and we encourage them to walk with Christ too. Because why? Because we're brothers. We're family. We're truly spiritual family. And then he tells us how to treat the women. He says older women as mothers. It was interesting this week on a text thread I got. My parents were going through some old pictures. And so a couple of the pictures that came through were pictures of me and my mom when I was under the age of one. There was one picture of my mom holding me when I was about less than 2 weeks old. And I'm looking at my mom, and not only was I looking at me like, wow, you were little. I was looking at my mom and like, wow, she was young. And I mean, but I was looking at my mom and I was looking at her face, and she was looking down at me the way I saw my wife look down at our kids when she had first delivered them. There was this love and this respect, and she's trying to hold my head up just right. And she's so proud of who her son is. I think it's arguable that the most significant relationship in a child's life from the time they're born for a period of time is their mom. It's their mom. And so we should treat women, older women, as mothers. How do we treat them? With respect, with honor, with gratefulness, thankful for who they are and what they're doing. Older women in the church should feel honored for who they are and how they live and what they've done. We should show respect there as well, amen? And that's what he wants us to do, so that women in the church know that they're genuinely cared for and that they're valuable in the church and they have significance to pass on to those who are younger. And then he gets to the younger women. He says younger women as sisters, and then he adds this, in all purity. Younger women as sisters in all purity. I happen to have two sisters. Both my sisters are married now. They have husbands that take good care of them. They don't need me in their life. But how do we treat someone as a sister? It means that we protect them and care for them, right? It means we're looking out for them, right? It's what we do. Now, my sisters don't call me and ever ask for help, but if they did and said, hey, Jeff, I just need you. Be my brother right now. I'm there. Because why? Because it's my sister. We grew up in the same family. There's a special kindred. There's a special relationship. How should younger women in the church be treated by people? As sisters, as family. Now, he inserts this word because he's talking to Timothy, who's going to be spending time with younger women. And it's really interesting because when you read through Titus chapter 2, when Paul's instructing Titus and telling him about all the different people in the church, the only one he doesn't tell him specifically to spend time with is younger women. This is free of charge. Older men are not to spend time discipling younger women. Did you know that? That's a responsibility for older women to disciple younger women. But men are called to be sisters with and love and protect the younger women. How? In all purity. What does that mean? It means that there's no woman in the church that should ever question or wonder why this man is looking out for her. It should always be above board. It should always be above reproach. There shouldn't be any funny business to it. Why? Because I'm not here to disciple you. I'm not here to be your best friend, but I do love you. I do care for you. I want to put you in touch with the right people. And it's in all purity. It's sincere. Right? So that younger girls in the church can feel like, out of all the places that I go, I feel the most protected, cared for, and loved here. I feel the most honored here. This is where I feel the most respected here. This is where I'm treated with all purity here, right? That's how we're to treat all people in the body of Christ. Did you know that? Older men with respect, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. Why? Because we're family. We're family. I've been a Christian now for, I think, almost 30 years, over 30 years. Time just keeps flying. I'm closer to some of you here than I am to my own family. Because why? Because of the bond we share in Christ and because of the depths of conversation that we have. And I love my family. Family is a good word for me. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love my sisters. And most of the time, I love my brother. And I do love him. And at the end of the day, I mean, family is a good word for me, but there's a special kindred that goes on in the body of Christ when we share the same Father in a deeper way, that we're family. And God wants us all to treat each other that way. Why? Because this is a family that Christ died for. He loves his family. Christ protects his family. This is his house. And how we treat one another is really, really important. You say, well, why do I need to know all that? Because you're going to come in contact with older men and younger men and older women and younger women. And God wants you to understand this is how you treat them. This is how you interact with them. Because he wants to be honored within his church. Amen? So caring for our spiritual family involves treating everyone in godliness and with respect. We're going to be godly with every single person and we're going to respect every single person because that's what it means to be part of the family of God. And there's all sorts of other things we could talk about this. We could talk about preferencing one another. We could talk about considering others more important than ourselves. There's all sorts of ways we treat one another. But in the church, we should feel palpably, this is the place where I feel the most love of any place I go on the planet. And it shouldn't just feel that way at Brave Church. It should feel that way in any church I walk into because we share the same God through Jesus Christ. I feel loved here. And I love walking into a place, whether it's here, whether it's in a different state, whether it's around the world, with the people that love Jesus. And you walk in and I feel like, this is my family. These are my people. And I've had that experience all around the world. And this is how we do it. So caring for your spiritual family means treating everyone with godliness and respect. Second is this, caring for your spiritual family means showing compassion and providing financial help when needed. Showing compassion and providing financial help when needed. Notice what he says. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Means honor widows who are truly widows. You say, well, what's a widow? A widow is somebody whose husband has died. That's what a widow is by definition, but it's not limited to that. It can also involve a woman who is married, who is dealing with bereavement or being left alone or having suffered loss because of not just death, but maybe divorce, maybe desertion, maybe imprisonment, where this woman is married to a man, but that man is no longer there and she's by herself and she's hurting. So when I say the word widow, I'm not just talking about someone whose husband has died. In our culture, it could be single moms, which is becoming an epidemic or pandemic. Because in our culture, the number one problem we have is men not stepping up and being godly and taking responsibility. And it impacts everything in a negative way when a man doesn't do that. So what do we do? How do we show compassion and provide financial help? Now, first of all, we have to decide, does God even care about this? Because it's interesting to me that in a book on the church, this many texts, this much scripture is dedicated to widows. Like, why would God spend this much time on this topic? Any idea? Because he cares about widows. Because he loves widows. God has always cared for the marginalized. There's two groups of people God really cares for, and it's widows and orphans. And in James chapter 1:27, here's what he says. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So live holy and then take care of two groups of people. Who? Orphans and widows. Why? Because they can't take care of themselves. So the church needs to be very responsible for taking care of both of those groups of people. Did Jesus care about kids? I mean, all throughout the scriptures, the disciples are shooing them away. He's like, no. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What did he say? He said, in this world, sinful things happen, but woe to one of you who causes one of these little ones to sin. I tell you the truth, it'd be better for you to take a millstone and go hang it around your neck and be thrown in the sea than to cause one of these little ones to sin. What was he saying? I care about kids. And I care about how you're treating kids. And I care about what happens to kids. And yeah, bad things are going to happen in this world, but woe to you if you're causing one of these little ones to stumble. I care about kids. We don't just do kids church or kids babysitting. We do kids ministry. Because Jesus cares about all our kids and he wants to have a relationship with all our kids and he wants our kids to grow up in the faith and know him. And he wants our kids to be part of a church where ongoing relationships look like this because he cares about kids.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and the start of a message titled, Caring for Your Spiritual Family. We're now in the 10th lesson of our current series, The Kingdom Embassy. And if you've missed any part of this relevant study, or you'd like to share these messages with someone you know, you can find all of our past programs at bravemedia.online. If you'd prefer to listen from your phone, download the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. With the app, you have unlimited access to Pastor Jeff's messages and sermon notes. You'll also receive updates and invites to get involved with all the ministry events and fellowship opportunities here at Brave Church. Just log into your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. Download the app to your smart device today. If you're on social media, link up with us there as well. If you're on social media, connect with us there as well. We post videos, Bible verses, and unique messages from Pastor Jeff on most major platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just log into your favorite account and search for Brave Church Denver. Now, if you live in the Denver area and you're looking for a church with biblical teaching, passionate worship, and a welcoming community, you're invited to join us in person here at Brave Church. You can plan a weekend visit to our campus in Englewood or our venue in Westminster. We'd be happy to show you around and get you better connected with our growing church community. If you're listening elsewhere, you can join us right from home, wherever you are, by going online for our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom to get all the details and directions. And if you have questions or an encouraging comment, you can email Pastor Jeff, hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for part two of our message, Caring for Your Spiritual Family. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.